Hello and welcome to the show. Sorry we're a couple of minutes late. My new computer failed me, and then finally it occurred to me that I had my old computer kicking around. So here we are on that. It seems to be working fine. And our guest tonight, pretty excited about the topic. Want to get the word out there of what's happening with Wikipedia and skeptics. And it is Craig Weiler and Rob Heatherly, and they've been doing some deep research. Both of them, Craig has been for quite a while, and we're going to be talking to them in just a second here. Our blog this week by Charles Lear is a continuation, part three, of the hovering assailants in Peru, and he has done some deep research and uncovered a lot of really interesting things and facts and about interviews. This is going way back. Things have been happening there. It's very interesting. So check that out at podcastufo.com. And let's see, I think that's it about for announcements. Next week, we're continuing on as usual. I'm going to be moving. I'm going across the country, I should say, and back. And so, but everything should be fine for the 27th. And I have James Loft as a guest then. So here we go. British. I believe he's not British. Sorry about that. Hope he's not listening. And here we are. Craig, welcome.
Hi, Martin. Thank you very much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
You bet. And hey, Rob, how are you?
Doing fine. Thanks for having us on. It's a welcome.
Yes. Pleasure to be here. Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I think, you know, more than anything, this is almost like a PSA. You know, this is like, we have to get the word out there that this is happening. And a good friend of the show, I was looking at my emails to see when he and I were first in touch, and that was April in 2013. Phil has been talking about this ever since he saw this going on and connected me with Rob. And so that's why you guys are on the show, and I'm grateful that you're here. So I guess I'd like to start out. Now, I know Rob has a longtime interest in UFOs. I'm not sure you do as well, Craig, right? I mean, you've been looking at this type of thing for quite a while, right?
Nope. I'm so my specialty is parapsychology, where the skeptics were going after that particular field for far longer than UFOs have been a thing. So,
oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And so I'm basically here because I've been, I started investigating the skeptics 10 years ago. I wrote a book about it. And so I have some rather in-depth knowledge of where all this comes from. And Rob has done the deep dive into the Wikipedia stuff recently, which I am so grateful for.
Yeah. I know I saw a clip of the Guerrilla Skeptics. Basically, it almost sounded like they were bragging about, you know, destroying all these people. And, you know, we're talking, you know, quite a few, what I consider pretty important people that, you know, taking their accolades away or changing them or putting them in a different place on the page or something like that. A lot of things going on. And so I guess, why don't we basically, I don't know who wants to lead it, but basically why we're here and why we're talking about tonight about the Wikipedia edits.
I can pick up because my history with this is a lot less than his, and I'll fill in the aspect of from the UFO front and where I think that overlaps with the parapsychology front. That when David Grush went public in June 5th of last year, I was tracking his narrative, and I keep a close eye on the UFO Twitter community, and I started seeing some new people come in there that seem to have a repetitive talking points, and I've got a pretty good memory for repeating patterns. So I caught buzzwords that weren't familiar, but were familiar to this new subset. So as his Wikipedia page evolved, I was noting these same words were on there. So I went and started inquiring about the editors of who was writing this. And the writing was very familiar to me, of somebody that's very pronounced in this community that is in opposition of all this. So I started looking at his edits and other editors. Then I went to pages like Lou Elizondo's, George Knapp's, and on down the line. Every person that has any prominence in the field of UFOs, or like Hal Puthoff and remote viewing and his works, and even his regular peer review papers and such. They target scientists, professionals, anybody that doesn't fit the charter of what turned out to be the guerrilla skeptics, and these unacknowledged guerrilla skeptics of Lucky Louie and them, that have the same talking points as Mick West and some others that are, these are all fellows of CFI, Committee for Inquiry, and then Committee for Skeptic Inquiry subsidiary that Susan Gerbic runs. That's the crowd that Craig has been dealing with for 12 years. And I rolled this back to 2005 and found where Mick West had gotten started on Wikipedia in 2005 and then had one acknowledged account in 2006 opened up. And I think Lucky Louie at around the same time frame. And then fast forward, they basically have entire topics locked up, including UFOs and parapsychology and a few others that they have projects on, where they systematically take over pages. And I pursued this for almost 4 months straight. I'm disabled, so I've got a lot of time on my hands for research. And it took me 3 solid months to map out the organization, to even get a feel for the size and the scope of it. It was incredible. And Craig can tell you what kind of an undertaking that was.
Yeah, Craig, why don't you go ahead?
So for what Rob did in going through there is just mind-boggling. It is absolutely mind-boggling, because in Wikipedia, you have the article, which everybody sees, and then you have talk pages, and then you have arbitration pages, and you just, and then stuff gets filed away in folders after, you know, old pages get filed away and stuff. So chasing things down becomes a nightmare. And none of it is really coordinated in a way where you can search it easily. So Rob is busy going down one rabbit hole after another, after another, after another. I mean, it's just, it's an insane amount of work. I did it for about 6 weeks back in 2013. I was following one particular case and I was watching how they operated when a whole bunch of new editors got on one particular article and attempted to correct it, to get it to neutral. And so I saw this whole process play out. And their system is pretty pretty good. I mean, you know, you just have to admire how they do this. It's basically they have the rule system completely down pat. So the minute you get on there, they're just barraging you with all the rules that you have to follow. Like, there's no goodwill at all, right? If you are a competing editor on their particular favorite topic, they're not listening to you. They're looking for a way to get rid of you. And they use their, you know, they use their rules. You'll hear them in defense say, well, people just need to follow the rules. Yeah. And no,
they also write the rules.
Yeah. They write the rules. They don't have any sense of scholarship about it. It's not about what the right thing is. It's about, or even whether it's correct. It's about whether you're following the rules that they are enforcing and policing upon you the entire time. So you're hassled from the moment you get on there. And if you try to make an edit, if you do that three times, now you're edit warring and they have a reason to take you to to a summary judgment and try and get rid of you there. At the time that I was on there, they kicked off four people within a 6 week span. One of them, they just booted off without any sort of trial or anything. And the other two, they found other ways. One of their favorites is to accuse people of being sock puppets.
Which it almost sounds like they might be.
The way they're doing it now.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, when they have new people show up with new accounts, they have a new rule that they consider them either meat puppets or not there to build an encyclopedia. And if they do the three, and they don't warn you if you edit three times and it gets reverted, that's called edit warring, and that they will ban you from the platform. But that's exactly what they do. Is every time a new editor pops up trying to make an edit counter to their narrative, and it's a majority rule literally on each page, and they are the only allowed majority on the platform. So they don't tell these unsuspecting new editors that you're going to get banned from the platform as soon as you get that third revert, and then boom, they're gone. They don't even take them to arbitration anymore. They're just gone.
Wow. So I wanted to let you know, if you were not aware of this, that on the last Need to Know podcast, Ross Caldhart started talking about his Wikipedia page. And he said, I don't understand it. Well, according to Wikipedia, my wife's not too happy because it says I'm divorced. And then it says that I was kicked out of something for a newsroom brawl. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's going on and on, all these things. And then he's starting to get to the end of what he's saying. And he's saying, it's almost like it's an organized situation. So mm-hmm. I sent a message to him. I said, yes, it is. And, you know, you should look into the work that Rob Heavily's doing. And so anyway, I don't know if he's, you know, checking into it or not, but as of last week when he did that podcast, he had no idea that this was happening. He thought it was just unique to himself.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was far more widespread. And Susan Gerbic, the guerrilla skeptic leader, she did a talk show or something just a couple of days ago where she says that people mistook that for what happened to Ross Colehart's page, is that somebody had edited in a bunch of accolades for him last December, and then they had to edit it back out because it was undue weight in favor of Ross. But that was true, factually. But what she didn't say was that previous to those being edited in, they were longstanding for over a year in his sub of a Wikipedia page, and Ed had stayed there until part of these skeptic crews pulled it out in mid-December, and they kept it out, and somebody tried to edit it back in. They reverted that and then banned the editor. So yeah, she's actually correct that somebody put it in and they pulled it out, but these were there a long time. They took out all of his positive awards, and then they gave him the bent spoon award. That's basically calling you a fraud, you know, that you're bending spoons and stuff with your mind, to ridicule him and get that removed from his page.
Now, you know, you kind of wonder what their purpose is. I know one of the skeptic associations has a lot of funding, and I don't really understand exactly what they use their funding for. But you know, it seems to me that these people that are doing the work that you're talking about, do you believe they're just volunteer, or do you think that, does anyone know if they're paid?
They're paid through the CSI group, and which is a subsidiary of the CFI, Committee for Inquiry. They have in their charter that they are anti-theists, and that whatever they view as quackery and pseudoscience by their definition, then they have a mandate on Wikipedia, where I found that one of the original founders in about 2006 argued to allow that a group that has Wikipedia in their best interest in mind, to allow them to, you're not supposed to have a majority. It's supposed to be neutral and independent and individual editors, but it's not with that group. But on the CSI, they have their CSI fellows, which include Neil deGrasse Tyson, Mick West, Bill Nye, and they get paid for their articles that they write. And then the Wikipedia editors, if they need consensus with mainstream articles, it's convenient. They can have their fellows write articles in the mainstream media, and then they use those for credible sources to offset other credible media that's the opposite of their opinions. So it's a complete racket.
Well, I remember, you know, I haven't been on Wikipedia to add information for a long time. And I'm going to say maybe 5 or 6 years, maybe longer. But I remember when it was that if you had information on one particular thing or someone, in my case, I believe it was about some particular thing, that you could go in there and you could edit and add something and source it if you wanted to. Is that no longer the case, or is it the case, but they'll boot you out easily?
Go ahead and tell you, Craig.
Okay. Yeah. It depends a lot on the topic. If you get into any of the areas that the guerrilla skeptics police, you're not getting anywhere. If you make any edit that they don't like, boom, you're out. They're very, very good at policing those areas. If you want to, you know, talk about a Pokemon or something that you knew from way back when, where you have some information nobody, you know, nobody knows, you can probably get that on Wikipedia. The, you know, it all, unless you run into some super anal editor or something, there are a lot of really intense people editing Wikipedia. And if you, even on relatively benign subjects, if you cross them, you end up getting in a fight with somebody who doesn't know anything, which is, you know, not really a very fun place to be, but a lot of people run into that.
And why should they have any more power than anyone else?
Well, okay. For example, there's something called LENR, low energy nuclear reaction, right? This is what you commonly know as cold fusion. So I happened to run across a page where I knew two people that were editing it or trying to. One was a Nobel Prize winning physicist, and the other was a high level technical engineer editor for a magazine. Both of them had no luck whatsoever against some nobody. When they were trying to edit the page, they would explain. The person just wasn't having any of it. All pseudoscience to them. That was that.
Hmm.
And so, go ahead.
The majority rules. So when they need an assist, they will call in as many admins as it takes to get majority. Yeah. If they bring in two or three people, they can recruit as many as they need. They haven't acknowledged 150 members, but it's much higher than that. That are loosely affiliated with the skeptics. And this goes clear back to what one of the Wiki founders argued for this group to keep the quackery. And he had a very disparaging two-name word for him in 2006 to argue for the existence of a monopolized group that would be looking out for the best interests of Wikipedia and keeping quackery and pseudoscience off of it. But when they maybe it was good in concept at first, but when they are able to determine what that is and inject their opinions, the neutrality that they were supposed to have of unbiased articles quickly was exterminated. Even the other former, the other founder of Wikipedia that left pretty early on, he wrote three articles about it in the last few years that is completely biased and bigoted, and he's completely lost what the original concept was.
The worst part of what I see is, and I'm just looking on the outside, I've never not done any research that you two gentlemen have, but is when they actually attack a person, if they actually do remove accolades or something of that. Now, Tim, Rear Admiral Tim Gallaudet has been on this show. He's a nice gentleman. And from what I understand, they went after his page as well. Do either one of you know anything about that?
Yeah. I posted that on Twitter the other day highlighting that and with screenshots because I think it was Jojo Anthrax, one of the three, Lucky Lee, Jojo Anthrax, or Joshua Schroeder that goes by JPS on as an editor name. They had marked it a couple of weeks ago that there was too much fluff and it needed cut back. So I sent a tweet out and tagged Gallaudet on it. And he thanked me for that. And sure enough, 2 days ago, I went in and they had removed about 2,500 characters out of it. And just really, really, I mean, the guy is, you know, as you well know, highly accomplished. They took out a lot of specifics on his citations and things and his service duty awards and things like that to where, right. Say, like he was coordinating for the Kitty Hawk battle group. They would take out the Kitty Hawk and just little things like that to just keep dialing down. They even do this to religion pages that they keep going in and doing little edits a little over time and just keep dialing it down, trying to exterminate the information they feel needs taken, literally eradicated from the planet. And that's their charter. What CFI does, what they get their funding is for. And also for CSI, which is a subsidiary, which is the Guerrilla Skeptics on Wikipedia that are being funded through all those donations. And you can even read on Neil deGrasse Tyson's page. They feel like academic progress and even in government are having bad decisions because people of faith are running them and they need atheists in charge to make the right decisions because the rest of us aren't responsible enough. So ergo, they don't even put an opposing opinion on pages, no matter how well sourced they are, to even let a person decide what is the correct choice to how you perceive something. And what they do to character, like what Tim Galladay and Lou and David Grush and others, and on down the line, anybody that's notable in Craig's field, mine, or UFOs, whichever, you can see that they're the positive attributes for them get systematically taken down and out, like with Ross, and they stack up as many negative ads as they can. It's targeted character assassination across the board.
Yep, pretty much.
That's really something. And in a way, it almost seems like we're going back to the Middle Ages, you know, of like closed-mindedness or like one-sidedness. It just doesn't seem right. Something seems really wrong about it.
Okay, so I can actually address what seems wrong about that. So these people, the skeptics, there was a 2013 University of Tennessee Chattanooga study where they divided up atheism into six different groups. Now, I'm not going to name them all, but the one we're focused on here is anti-theists. Mm-hmm. And these people are the blowhards that get on the internet and start attacking religions. You know, I'm sure you've seen their memes, you know, occasionally running through of how ridiculous religions are. Skeptics are a subset of that. And technically, they're atheist materialists. It's a very important distinction. Your average atheist really doesn't care, but your atheist materialist is very focused on a world made out of material. So this gets really esoteric quickly, but so I'll make it brief. Basically, two guiding philosophies out in science. One is that the universe is made of ideas, and the other one that universe is made of material. There's actually a great deal of controversy now because the materialists are losing the science part. And that's part of why you see them get so worked up on Wikipedia. It's like literally their last stranglehold.
Wasn't there a parapsychology debate on that? The science, what was it? There was a TED Talk pulled that Rupert Sheldrake.
That was in 2013, which I documented in my book. He had made a talk where he was questioning the 10, what he called the dogma of science, which were these materialistic beliefs that are within the science. And he said, well, let's just question them. And they pulled his talk just for putting up the question. They pulled his talk and banned him because this was to them pseudoscience just for questioning.
Jeez.
Yeah. So they're bonkers. These are, they have all the signs of authoritarian personality types. And just to confirm this, I mean, I could see it, but then I went to a psychologist who studies this stuff, Steve Taylor. He's in England, who knows about the skeptics too. And he's like, yep. These are authoritarian types. So very black and white, can't handle ambiguity very well. And they tend to be very militant about their views and very, very
aggressive
about dissent. Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead.
I was going to say one of the founders of the CFI around 2008 to 2014, there was a lawsuit where an atheist sued Congress and the federal government to try and take prayer out of chamber sessions and things, and to allow him to give a non-religious pep talk, basically. And they won part of that lawsuit by suing him because, at any rate, they took this. I think it went up to even a district, maybe even the Supreme Court. I'm not sure. It was a huge landmark case back in like 2014 or 15. So they've got significant funds and to throw at this. And you can read the charter for how they're attacking religion on Neil deGrasse Tyson's Wikipedia page, because he subscribes to that. And it's in its explicit detail how they feel like any theology whatsoever is hampering humanity and damaging it. And they feel it's their duty to rid the world of all this bunk, which they don't believe in, you know, in NHI, they don't believe in UFOs, they don't believe in paranormal, that there's no collective consciousness, you know, that after death we're dirt, that's it. There's no life beyond death, and then there's no supernatural. So that's where you have a lot of overlap with Craig and I, that, you know, we come at this from two sides, but like with people like Hal Puthoff, they're right bridging in the middle of all this. And I've even contacted him because in 2017, he was trying to edit his page and get the pseudoscience tag taken off of it, because this is his life's work. You know, he's not a young person anymore, and you don't want to be remembered, you know, in your Wikipedia page calling you a pseudoscientist. So he tried to edit in 5 peer-reviewed papers of his, and they rejected those and cited a book written by a biologist instead. The biologist criticized it and called his work pseudoscience. So they kicked out his 5 papers, and he gave up and left. And I was in tears when I read it. It was sad. You can go on the talk page for Hal Puthoff and read it. It's tear-jerking. But he gave up. He couldn't get them to, no matter how he tried to format it, they kept rejecting it. The same thing Craig was talking about that he's been dealing with all this time.
Wow, it's so controlling. It's just unbelievable. What about Google's involvement?
Google has put Wikipedia at the top of search.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it doesn't matter whether the article is any good or not. You Google Wikipedia, or you Google anything that Wikipedia has, and it'll come up to the top of search results. Part of that is to encourage people to pay for ads to get above Wikipedia. So it's very much Google's financial best interest to shove a whole bunch of stuff at the top, whether it's any good or not, to push anybody's monetary benefit down, so that they have to pay for ads. I mean, that's kind of the game there.
I see.
Yeah.
Here's another question here. And I think there's a lot of motivation, I think, in situations like this, is really the bottom line is it's fear-based. There's something fear-based about when someone wants to control something. And how do you answer this question here? Do we know what the motivation is behind the control of this information?
Yeah, actually I do. So a lot of skeptics, what they found a long time ago when a lot of scientists first started looking at skepticism was that some of the most absolutely ferocious ones came from a highly religious and controlling home. And they eventually rejected that, but kept all the controlling behaviors when they went and adopted science as their touchstone, so to speak. So you had people dealing with extreme religious beliefs and then switching over to extreme science beliefs, which is called scientism. There's actually a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
When you treat science as a religion.
Yeah. Lou had talked on that a couple of years ago, I think on Kurt Jumongel, where he talked about people falling into scientism and trying to prescribe a narrative instead of following empirical facts. But like with Mick West, what I saw, this is what started me in the first place back in July of last year. He had written several blogs about how he grew up as a child, and the Hopkinsville goblin encounter book terrified him more so than anything else. And the thought of being abducted or ghosts stroking his face or demons and things that terrified him as a child. And then when he grew up and learned through science that none of this exists, he was angry and wanted to get back and to remove this bunk from humanity, so other people, you know, and kids didn't have to suffer through what he did. So he went weaponized with it. In one of his blogs, he was bragging about trying to flip an editor that was a priest of his faith and turn him atheist. That to me is a very cruel thing to do, is strip somebody of their worldview and their foundations that give them solace of who they are and a security blanket to try and arbitrarily take that away from them. I thought that was kind of cruel. So I went looking for that, and I finally found it in Wikipedia in 2005 after a lot of time searching for it. And that's where I, you know, people think that he is, you know, wholesome and true and just, you know, out for the, you know, a true skeptic, which is valuable in any profession or any discipline in science. We need true skeptics, but these are pseudo skeptics. They are not, even if they believe what they're countering, they're never going to admit it. They can't. Their entire franchise and their belief structure stands on never being wrong and none of them breaking ranks.
Yeah. Well, you know, it seems like it's in all parts of our society. There's the strong oppositions and black and white and control issues and about every segment of anything you can think of. It seems like, I don't know what is causing this. I do think that, you know, the internet is a double-edged sword and a lot of things have happened since that's come along and with social media and all that. You know, you can go down any rabbit hole you want and believe whatever you want and get all the backing you need. But I really strongly feel that if beliefs aren't hurting anyone, then everyone should be free to believe in a religion if they want to believe in, as long as, you know, people aren't getting hurt. And right. for someone to try to control someone in that way, I think it's harmful to us all and other segments of life. Here's a more or less a comment here. Wikipedia is a nonprofit, but they are violating their charter. What do you think of that comment?
That's a tricky one because it's Wikimedia runs Wikipedia, and they basically take a hands-off approach to it, and they let the editors run Wikipedia. So if they're original, once they do that, they really don't have responsibility for what the editors do in a legal sense. I mean, this has basically been codified into law that they're not responsible for the editor's content.
Hmm.
So, do they have a moral obligation? Absolutely. They have a moral obligation to produce a real encyclopedia that puts scholarship first, as opposed to what they're doing now, which is basically, you know, a group controls an area and puts out their own particular message in there. So they have a moral responsibility, but they don't have a legal one. I guess that's the best way to put that.
I think that they, when we've had the guerrilla skeptics that have been taken to the arbitration board several times for different things. But also part of that is attacking people's characters that were unfounded, unsubstantiated claims. I mean, if it's Jeffrey Dahmer, of course it's going to be a negative article. But arbitrarily taking somebody, for instance, like David Grush, who came out, there's, you know, his record is, you know, it's unimpeachable, you know, with all of his awards and his history and the people that vouched for him. This is the most senior level intelligence person that's worked in actual UFO programs to come forward. And they are putting in every bit of negativity that they can get. Mick West's opinion that he doesn't believe that's accurate, which Mick West has never worked in any programs. He doesn't have any kind of training in physics whatsoever. He's done some trig to write, you know, 2D programs with, but he's not qualified. But then you get Brian Dunning, who's just a novice as well, with comments in there, and Cavalito. None of these people are experts in science. They have no history within the intelligence community. They have no knowledge to determine what is accurate and what's not, but they decide what is real through consensus among their editors, and what they decide collectively is their reality, and that's what they push on the platform. And if you try to push against it, you get bumped off of it. But they're also replicating it off the platform with their CSI fellows. And I think part of these arbitration boards that they had, when I think there was, it may have been the Sheldrake one, but there's been a couple since then where Jesse Wales, one of the co-founders that was still overseeing it.
Jimmy Wales.
Yes. There was a lot of fanfare in the media where it was highly publicized. So he became aware that they were that there was an organized group, the Guerrilla Skeptics, and that they were targeting specific people and doing them reputational harm and did nothing about it. And then that emboldened Susan Gerbic and her Guerrilla Skeptics, which she's going to think this is a feather in her cap too for advertisement and recruiting. They've admitted that they have over, they control over 1500 pages now. They've gotten over 150 million page views. And she states that their number one tool for getting their dogma out to the world through the CSI and Wikipedia is the Wikipedia tool, because it's hands down, you know, the number four popular site in the world, especially for media and information. So they're completely focused on this. And I think that there could be a challenge to liability for defamation, because they're doing it wholesale across different categories, like, for instance, religion, for UFOs, and in the paranormal and parapsychology community. They're all being disparaged. Any person that starts to gain prominence, they go to work. They even rank each page from A to F on how important it is to try and keep an eye on that page and control it. And then they get pinged anytime someone tries to edit it. And if it's high up on their rating list, they will all swarm to that and make sure that it doesn't get, they don't lose control of it. But another trick I think that they're doing is, say these new editors that are sock puppet accounts or an IP address, they'll come in and they'll do three edits and then it gets reverted. They claim edit warning, and then they can call for a protection page, and then it gets protected, you know, sometimes short term or sometimes long term, depending how many times it happens. And then only the bigoted editors that have already had the majority there get to edit it from there forward. And you have to ask permission and write it in the talk page, taken under consideration. But I have to wonder if they're not manufacturing some of these rogue editors to have the three revert rule, so then they can lock it up and protect it. And it seems that I see a methodology to that that I'm still evolving, but that's a repeating pattern that they're using.
Now, okay, say I'm Tim Gallaudet or I'm Ross Coldheart, and I decide to take a look at my Wikipedia page one day, and I see all these things removed or edited or moved or whatever. And I said, hey, you know, that's not so. I'm going to go in and add my, you know, I won this award. I want to put this award in there. He can't edit his own page?
No.
It's strictly forbidden. You can't edit your own page. It's against their rules. But Neil deGrasse Tyson acknowledges on his own Wikipedia page that he corrected something once, but they're chastising some people on Twitter for editing their own page at one point. And we're going to try and squeeze them off the platform for that. But I point out that, well, you need to go after deGrasse. But they also have basic standards of what a person of notoriety even and ranks them to have a Wikipedia page. And Susan Gerbic, that heads this out, you would think that she had some kind of education in the sciences. She doesn't. She was a JCPenney career photographer, which there's no shame in that. You know, that's a respectable job. Yeah. And I commend her for that. But to be making decisions on science and religion and you know, all the other disciplines that she is taking, she doesn't have firsthand knowledge on these topics. She's relying on secondhand knowledge of the people that are professionals and scientists that she surrounds herself with. She's relying on them to give her accurate information to believe what they're saying for her to advance their dogma. So she has no dog in this fight firsthand.
Well, it's like, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson and I'm going to put him on the same stage in a way with Mick West. You know, Mick West is a gamer, but Neil deGrasse Tyson, yes, he's an astronomer and he's held in esteem and all that. But, you know, when he comes off saying things publicly, like, you know, basically the bottom line is, you know, anyone that believes in UFOs is nuts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so closed-minded. It's not scientific at all. It's just theater. And it's kind of hard to look at him and take him seriously when he has that type of attitude. And, you know, Mick West, I will say that a couple of times I've seen some really good work by Mick West, but I've seen a lot more not so good work and very, very opinionated work. Like, this has to be a jet exhaust. you know, that worked for him right once, and he was absolutely correct when it had to do with the Chile event years ago. But now he uses that for basically everything. It seems like he uses it a lot. And just a real quick thing I want to say, I had him on one time to talk about that. And I had Kevin Day, you know, talking about all these basically things. You know, he finally, Mick West said, okay, I agree. You're right. It can't be that. And then a week later, he was on the news. I saw him on the news saying, you know, still going back to the old, it's a, you know, a jet exhaust. So he just went back to what works for him. I want to address this question by B. Baker. Who is left that takes Wikipedia seriously? It's a joke with all the high suspect information. And I want to say people believe, a lot of people believe what they read. You know, right off the bat, it's very powerful when they read it, when they're reading it as the first thing that comes up when they're searching something or whatever. A lot of people take Wikipedia at face value and think it's all 100% because it's in print, so to speak. And as humans, that's kind of how we react a lot of times. So it's a very powerful tool. And that's why this is a serious thing to look at. You know, if it's coming up right away and it has a lot of information, you think you're getting the right information. I had Tim Burchett, Congressman Tim Burchett, on a few weeks ago, and he said he wouldn't trust Wikipedia for as far as he could throw the Capitol dome. But he talks about his, you know, his own distortions that there are on Wikipedia.
Yeah, he's been informed too. There's some of these people in the background that have been I've made sure that they've been informed of what's happening with their pages, just like with George Knapp and Jeremy Corbell, that were, you know, George Knapp was saying how years ago his girlfriend tried to go in, that was just a, you know, a longtime friend, but they dated just for a short time, but then she was listed in the page as a long time, you know, affair, what we can call affair, a relationship. And she went in to try and edit it out. And they, every time she put it in, same thing. It just got taken right back out again. She's like, you know, what is this? She didn't understand at the time what was happening until he told her about it just recently. And now she's incensed too and joining the fight. And most people think that with a platform this large, there is an expectation that it's going to be at least an air of essence of trying to be fair and neutral with it. You know, there's not going to be a perfect process with anything, you know, especially this large, but there is an expectation of some semblance of oversight and neutrality, or at least an attempt towards that. But that is not the case. And I think that's an antitrust issue. And in breaking good faith, they're taking government monies and donations from people, foundations and things that are on, that are assuming that there are checks and balances in place and that they're making an attempt. But like Greg said, in any demographic that there's a group that want to go after this, you can't make any inroads. And I'm sure they're not the only group on Wikipedia, but I haven't encountered the other ones yet. I haven't had time to map them out because this has taken so much time. And I've got so many people now reaching out to me, not just in the UFO community, but other notable people that want to know if their pages were affected, and I'm providing them that information. And we've got people in Congress now interested in this. And I've heard of different law groups and people on Twitter that were talking about having their legal representatives and things look at it, that because they were being, their character was being disparaged. So there's a lot of interest in this, and it's growing. They, Guerrilla Skeptics, have had, like with Craig and them, before, when he didn't have the power of the internet behind him back then, like we do now with social media. And I'd like for him to explain that.
Oh, yeah. With my first attempt, I was looking at this going, these guys are everywhere. I mean, they're just like all over Wikipedia. It's like, holy smokes. And they're affecting all these bios. They're affecting all these subjects. So just so that you know, it's not just parapsychology and UFOs, but it's also alternative medicine, alternative energy, and
homeopathy, chiropractic,
homeopathy, acupuncture. All these different subjects, acupuncture, and you know, stuff like what's really irritating is, for example, they're going after chiropractic. I don't know why, but you know, chiropractic care is medically recognized for people. That's why you have chiropractors everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Naturopaths, medically accepted. Acupuncture, medically accepted. Reiki, for Pete's sakes, hands-on healing, medically accepted. All of this stuff, and you would never know it by looking in Wikipedia. All this information has been completely distorted beyond recognition. Now, mm-hmm. if somebody needs something along those lines, you know, if, for example, there are some situations where no allopathic medicine will work for them, what's left? Well, there have been studies, for example, that have demonstrated psychic healing has actually cured cancer in mice. There are actual studies about that. And these people would have no way of knowing if they were searching Wikipedia. And in fact, to find that stuff, you have to search very, very specifically. You have to know exactly what you're looking for to find it. And so that you can bypass all this gatekeeping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not just Wikipedia. It's like all this skeptic stuff all rises to the top of search results.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The CFI fellows that had the high powered lawyer that went after Congress. Now he's one of the founding members, and I think he got sidelined in 2016. And then we have the present one. And I thought it was kind of funny how Susan Gerbic is the only one that was editing under her name, and that she became incorporated underneath that CFI with the CSI fellows group, and the Gorilla Skeptic heading falls under her. So she's firewalled in essence the CFI foundation, the parent company, through her 501c. So any liability of, say, class action, defamation suits or anything that crops up from the CSI fellows outside of Wikipedia, or some kind of contention with the Gorilla Skeptics within it, that falls to her CSI foundation and her nonprofit. So the liability is on her, not the leaders of CFI, which is a brilliant move on their part to let her edit under her name. They stay protected. And if something goes down on Wikipedia or the CSI, she gets the hit with her company, not them. Brilliant business plan.
How about that? And the quick film I watched on the Gorilla Skeptics was they were all cheering each other on that they would, you know, take these things down and that they had control of these pages. They were all really, really excited about it in this conference or whatever it was that they were at. It's pretty distorted. I have to say goodbye to everyone over at KGRA Radio. Remember, we'll be back next week with Jim Loff. And thank you all. Jim Loff is a journalist, so should be an interesting guy. Thank you all at KGRA Radio, and we'll see you next week. So let's continue on just a few minutes here.
Okay.
So, you know, I have to wonder, is there any recourse to any of this, or is it just something we have to observe and be aware of?
Well, from the parapsychology side, the SPR, Society for Psychical Research, just did their own encyclopedia. It's called the PSI Encyclopedia, PSI Encyclopedia. And so if you are a researcher, you have a perfectly acceptable biography in that one. So there's competition for them. Everybody else in holistic medicine, you're out of luck. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, people like Eben Alexander, yeah. neurosurgeon who had a near-death experience and wrote about it. He's out of luck. So these things are, you know, if you have an organization behind you that can put something out competing out there, you've kind of got a shot of at least having competing information. But if you don't, they'll hammer you.
Well, I take a different approach on that. And that's where Craig and I met, because about a month ago, he saw one of my posts on Twitter, and I didn't know him before that. And he said that was a noble thing I had done, but that he didn't feel like anything was going to change. And I told him, well, you know, DM me, let's talk about that. Cause I'm optimistic. And I think that he's starting to see that now that, you know, when we have people on board like Gary Nolan that became aware of this and how this is, you know, they spend their whole life trying to educate people correctly, you know, through advanced education and things, and that people, the general public, laymen, need to have a good reference library online. And they have that expectation of there being at least some semblance of quality control on this platform, or else it wouldn't be pushed up to the top of the search results, right? So there are considerations that are being kicked around. I think that some, like Tim Burchett, there are some congressmen now that are catching on to this. And I think the academics that are seeing this, like Gary Nolan included, and I think there are parallels to him that I can't remember their names, but it is escalating, not diminishing, on the side of academia and pushing through institutions and then also through Congress and affecting that way. And then there's the legal ramifications that are being explored with Wikipedia Foundation, the private foundations, and the individual persons within those groups that are being so disparaging toward people, living persons, that are actual defamation, because the things they have written, maybe not in their article, but in the talk pages and elsewhere, there's some pretty damning vitriolic statements of fact against these people. And a lot of these, can you imagine a cancer researcher getting topic banned from his own topic where he cannot edit his page anymore? This has happened many times over. Craig can attest to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's that happens crazy, all the time. Huh?
It is.
Yeah. Hey, I've got a call here. Someone, Phil, welcome to the show.
Hi, can you hear me?
I think we can hear. Can you hear him on there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can hear you. Yes. Go ahead, Phil.
Okay, great. Great. I wanted to kind of take this back in time a little bit because I'm a little bit older than some of these gentlemen here. And this dates back to CSI COP, the Committee for the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal, founded mm-hmm. by people like James Randi and Carl Sagan
yep.
and Michael Shermer. All of these people that are doing these things are outgrowths of this organization, which changed their name, I don't know, 10 years or so ago, and they're now calling themselves CSI. Yep. Do you all agree with this so far?
Yeah.
Yeah.
CFI and then subsidiary or CSI.
Hello?
Yeah.
It's CFI.
Phil, they're agreeing with you. I'm sorry you can't hear through this side.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's fine. My point is, this has been a long time coming. One of your guests mentioned the fact that they're scientific reductionists or materialistic reductionists, where everything has to be reduced to the five senses. So anything out there that these people don't like, they go after. And it's just, it's immense, the things they go after, as these gentlemen know. But I wanted to get the point across that this has been developing for the better part of 50 or 60 years. People like Neil Tyson, I don't give him three names because he doesn't deserve three names. Tyson is a member of CSI, as is Michael Shermer, as is Mick West. All of these people need to be outed for who they are and what they're doing. They're trying to brainwash everyone. And this business with Google, I think should be hammered home, because Google is just as responsible as CSI is for getting this stuff out to the public, where things, you know, like you guys, one guy you didn't mention was Graham Hancock, which I personally think is great. And he's been trashed by archaeologists, and he's trashed by Wikipedia for no good reason whatsoever, only because they don't like him. So anyway, that's my tirade. I'm just curious if you have anything to add to that.
Thank you, Phil.
So what he's talking about with, so first of all, CSI, Committee for Skeptical Inquiry, CFI, Center for Inquiry. It's easy to get the two confused. So he's talking about CSI COP, which was the original name, which was Committee for Skeptical Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal. And they later dropped the investigation part because, one, they were terrible at it, and they ended up with experiments that proved exactly the opposite of what they wanted. And two, you know, it just sounded cool to switch it to CSI. So all of this started because there was a surge in interest in the paranormal back in the 1970s. And also there were some experiments with something called the Ganzfeld. This was a telepathy experiment that was starting to look like it would make a difference for parapsychology. And so these reactionaries immediately jumped on that and created CSI COP, which immediately had a split. So the people that he was naming were actually, I don't think those were the founders, because Paul Kurtz, Barcio Truzzi, I know Sagan might have been one of the founders, but he distanced himself pretty quick from it because he found them way too reactionary. He was far more reasonable than they like to portray him.
Right. And I think Graham Hancock has, I think his issue and why they would attack him is he's brought a lot of things into question, the things that we think are facts, you know, from the past. And I think we know little. I think we know little about what's going on around us all the time. I think we know little about our past. We have amnesia as the human species, because, you know, just to think that we may know some things from 20,000 years ago or maybe more from 6,000 years ago, but that's not really that long if you really think in the scope of time. But for someone like Graham Hancock to come along and say, well, this is really interesting, you know, this could be this or whatever, and to be shunned for that, you know, for that type of open-minded thinking, you know, it's not claims, it's things that we should at least question.
I've spent 8 years before I came into this field about 3 years ago in tandem in the alternative ancient history community. And I've had the pleasure of working with some very, some of the best researchers out there. Even I've met Randall Carlson. I've not had the pleasure of talking to Graham Hancock, but they are not just advancing theories. They're advancing facts. And like with Mick West and them, in every discipline, they fear what they, you know, they reject what they fear, and that there is catastrophism instead of gradualism. It's a very terrifying thing to realize that the planet gets hit about every 5,000 years on average, and humanity gets set back to near brink of extinction. That's been going on over 100,000 years now easily. So things like that are very disturbing for people to learn. And then they have to, you know, a lot of them have built their entire careers writing curriculum books on this. They teach it in the colleges and they're experts on it. So when they find out, they have to go back and rewrite the entire history books of everything they professed through their entire, through their entire curriculum. That's daunting, but it's also, we found this in every discipline. They don't want the challenge quo dogma that became scientism challenged. And the same goes with history, that there are so many facts out there where scientists or like archaeologists, like with Coquiaco in Mexico, one of the oldest pyramids on the planet, there are different lava flows and there are megalithic blocks underneath one of them that some of the dating goes back 12,000 and it could be kicked back to 26,000 years that is contemporary with Gedang Padang in Indonesia, that is considered possibly the oldest pyramidal structure ever built by man. So there's a lot of facts there and they categorically reject it just like they do the Younger Dryas impact hypothesis. So, you know, we've got scientists in there like Firestone and them. They're being systematically attacked on Wikipedia too. These are actual scientists that have peer reviewed papers that are just, you know, by the hundreds of notations to them that are categorically getting kicked off the platform because they arbitrarily disagree with them. It's absurd.
Isn't that something? That is really something. I really like to look back at the history and what you're talking about. That all that stuff really fascinates me a lot about the possibilities. And I remember there was a, you probably know more about this, but just go on this little sidebar right here for a second. There was a female archaeologist that way back, I think in the 60s or 70s, made a discovery that she shouldn't have made, and it ruined her career because of all the, you know, what they could test around these tools or whatever, made it something like 200,000 years old, and it shouldn't have been that. And she basically, her career was totally ruined because of that finding. And she said something like, if it was 12,000 years, I'd be fine. But when it goes back, you know, when all the, I don't know how they dated it, radio dating, whatever they did. But I know like stone tools, you can't date these things. You just have to date
from the fire what's around them. I think it was the flint, the charred flint that was some kind of layer. I know like C14 only goes back, what, 14,000 years or something like that. But there was something in the, that they could date that was in the, something to do with the charcoal, which I think that they've been able to date some of the charcoal back like two million years almost with some of that.
It was something really, yeah, it was like, it was an outstanding number, whatever it was. That
I think that was in Israel, Bill, that happened.
Basically kind of ruined in Israel. Everything. Her future was ruined. Here's a question. Can you talk more about the manipulation of actual information pages by skeptics groups? They right now we're just focusing on individuals being, you know, the attacks of individuals, but still, what about some of the information? Has there actually been informational pages that the skeptics have
attacked? Within the pet topics that they focus on, they go after every page that has any prominence, and they have page ranks in them. They've actually followed like 5,500 pages in their skeptical project that they call it on Wikipedia. And every one of those pages, they try and influence. So they will take out whatever information they disagree with. They will edit it back out because they say that they have to go by mainstream consensus. And they decide, you know, if there are as many peer-reviewed and well-sourced papers that are opposite of their opinion, they will find, as you know, they will manufacture, if they can't find them, well-sourced opinions for them. And they will, if they can label it pseudoscientific or quackery or bunk or whatever, fringe science, then that gives them the right to give them, they don't have to have a neutrality after that. They feel like it's Wikipedia's mandate to offset the ridiculousness of putting out propaganda by the rest of the world. They feel an obligation to offset it. So they edit in the most negative, arguments and papers, well, not even papers, articles, and most of it that support their narrative, and then they atrophy and take out systematically. And sometimes they do it just a little bit over time. They just keep chipping away, and that's what I kept finding is they would just it's so subtle, and some of it you wouldn't notice it unless you frequented the page. But you look at it one year, if you've copied it, go back the next year. If it's a contentious topic of theirs, it's going to be completely different if it's not deleted.
Now, have you used the Wayback Machine or something like that on any of these things to look at what used to be and what it is?
I can go back through the edits, and this is what took me so long. Oh, every single edit that they make, I can go back through and rewind it and see every edit by every editor that was made in succession. And that takes an inordinate amount of time to do to get a concept of how they've done it. And that's how I map them out.
I got it.
Yeah, just to give you an idea on, I'll give you one example of what they do where the information completely contradicts them and they don't care. So if you go in and you look up parapsychology under in Wikipedia, you immediately find that people perceive this as a pseudoscience, and that's completely irrelevant. The Parapsychological Association is an affiliate of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. They were vetted by mainstream science back in 1969 by a vote of 170 to 30 or something. They were accepted into the organization, and they had to prove themselves. They had to submit a whole bunch of documentation to show that they were actually doing science. So the point of this is they were vetted by mainstream science. back in 1969, when you are a member of that organization, you are vetted. That's, you're done. There isn't any, well, maybe it's pseudoscience, maybe it isn't. No, you're a member of the organization, you're vetted. If you go to Wikipedia's, if you go to the Wikipedia page for parapsychology, it's, it, you, they have like pseudoscience in the first paragraph three times. And it's not, there's nothing about it that's even close to pseudoscience. You know, I know a lot of these people, I've seen a lot of the papers and stuff. There's nothing pseudoscience about any of this. It's just science.
I have to tell you something because it just occurred to me. When I was posting this show, it goes up on Facebook and Twitter. Twitch and a couple of other ones all at the same time. I could not get this show to go up on Facebook because of your bio, Craig, that had the word parapsychology in it. I had to delete that word to get this show up live on Facebook. It did. It says YouTube, it does not meet the guidelines.
YouTube uses Wikipedia as well to push their messages and their algorithms as well. They
YouTube
don't,
didn't give me any trouble, but Facebook would not let me even post the show.
Until
I removed that word.
One of the
that's
flagship.
Another thing for you to look into.
Nick West, as we all know, his flagship is hanging his hat on that he thinks that he's got all the UFO videos debunked, that all of them have a prosaic explanation. And Ryan Graves, who testified under oath to Congress even, and the whole lot of them in favor, you know, Top Gun pilots, that Nick West wrote articles and to establish that pilot testimony is not acceptable as a reliable source. So his flagship page that Lucky Louie tends to on Wikipedia, which I think is him, it cites Nick West even as a source. And they even state that pilot testimony is not reliable sources because Ryan Graves, I think, or somebody tried to edit on his behalf to put that information in the Pentagon UFO page on the ones that Lou Elizondo and them got released. And the Roosevelt video, that all kinds of articles by Mick West and them supporting his version of it are highly stacked in there, but they can't get in even the pilot testimonies because that's not reliable evidence. They can't get Kevin Days in there. Anything that's positive, and these are documented, these are entered into the congressional record even, they still can't get that information edited into these articles on Wikipedia because these people reject it and they control the narrative.
Yep.
That's really something. It's baffling. I don't know what the average person could do about this other than be aware. I mean, truly, it seems like it's a major force. And I personally don't see any, I don't know how there could be any changes unless they end up in front of Congress or something because of some type of violation like Zuckerberg has a couple of times. But when Wikipedia first started, I bet they didn't have any idea that this type of thing would ever happen in the future. Or maybe they don't even really care that it happens at all. I don't know. Any thoughts on that?
The other co-founder that wrote, that left like in 2002, that wrote the articles in the last few years of how biased it's become. He didn't,
Larry Sanger.
He was writing that, that he didn't see a way forward to that. He was creating an entirely different platform to replace it, which is great. And I posted it on Twitter, a bunch of links to that, but I also reached out to him last night and he responded to me today and said that it would be very difficult to quantify how they would be systematically targeting people for like a class action suit or to prove that there's an organized group. And I'm hopeful I can get him on board too, because I told him DM me and I can show you the evidence. I can prove it to you that I can prove that there is a coordinated group. And I've even found Jimmy Wales, a chat conversation that's still up on the archives, the Wayback Machine, where he was arguing for the necessity of an organized group on Wikipedia of skeptics to debunk the platform of all these credulous people. So he argued for a monopoly group, which is eerily what this echoes today. Guerrilla Skeptics didn't come into existence on Wikipedia until 2010, but I found those same people already active on Wikipedia from 2005 and six. So they've been activists long before the Gorilla Skeptic banner came up, but they've been, a lot of them have been in there since near the inception doing this. So they're well entrenched, and no one thought it could be quantified, but evidently I've found enough and have convinced enough people. This isn't dialing down. It's exponentially growing. I'm having to form teams with this to help pursue different avenues, like with Congress and other venues that I don't want to discuss at the moment. But there's very high level people interested that are very incensed, and they want accountability and they want reform.
Very good. So I'd like to close the show. Craig, is there anything last thing you'd like to say as well?
I think we've covered it really well. This is my first interview where I'm with Rob, and really hopeful that we can do a lot more of this and get this message farther out. This is far more serious than people think. It is really hard to grasp just how far this has gotten into our society and into everything, because too many people rely on Wikipedia for information. It's now getting into the AI models. So AI is going to spit out their thing. So you have basically this undocumented religion spreading out to the entire world about you know, basically atheist materialism. And we're all getting this religion from them.
Yeah. That's well put. And AI is a whole nother show. That's a whole nother thing to be aware of. That's going to change everything, I think. And but anyway, it's been a real pleasure with you two gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And good luck in your quest in getting the word out there. I think it's very important. And I do appreciate the work that you have been doing. And Rob, I appreciate all the grueling hours that you spend to look at those edits over the years. It's very time consuming. And I know you say you have plenty of time, but it sounds like a lot of work and dedication to me.
It was.
And I do appreciate it.
The people that are acting in good faith to try and advance multiple topics forward are decent people. And they had no idea why they're receiving so much blowback and resistance. Like for example, Lou and David is the most recent, and Ross and George Knapp, which I'm going to be on Coast to Coast AM with George Knapp in about a week to talk about this.
Oh, good. That's great. Yeah.
It's growing as people become more aware, because there's been a lot of people affected by this over the years that are coming forward. Like, I just thought it was my page and a one-off thing. And now that they're realizing that it's coordinated, there's a lot of pissed off people out there, and we're legion and it's growing. So
you have a great big
Craig to unite with.
You'll have a great big audience with Coast to Coast. But anyway, thank you, gentlemen, so much. And good luck. I'm so glad to hear that you're going on that platform as well. And keep pushing it out there, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. So we'll be back next week. And our guest is Jim Luff. And remember to keep your eyes to the sky.